When I think about articulation, my mind goes straight back to the exam room. Two patients, same day, same worried look. The difference between them is the whole story of this episode. The first one comes in, sits down and says, "Doctor, I feel terrible." I say, "Okay, where? How? Since when? What kind of terrible?" And they just shrug. Just terrible. Now I believe them. The suffering is real. But they haven't given me a map. It's like standing in the middle of a country with no street signs. I know something is wrong, but I have nowhere to start. A couple of hours later, someone else walks in. Same body language, same anxiety in the eyes. But they say, "There's a sharp pain in my lower right side. It started 3 days ago. It gets worse when I press on it and when I eat." Same body, same problem potentially, but now my eyes change. Now I know where to look, what to rule out, which questions matter. I can move. The difference between "I feel terrible" and "sharp pain in my lower right side for 3 days, worse when I eat." That difference is articulation. Articulation isn't just talking about how you feel. Most of us talk about how we feel all the time and stay completely stuck. Articulation is making what's happening inside you precise enough that you can navigate by it. Let me use another image. Imagine you're driving in thick fog. You can barely see the hood of your car. Everything feels dangerous and vague and wrong. That "I can't see, something is off, I need to pull over" feeling is real. But it doesn't help you drive. Now imagine the fog thins just enough that you can see the white line at the edge of the road. You still can't see your destination, but that one line gives your hands something to follow. You're still in the fog, but now you can move. Articulation is what turns pure fog into that white line. Now I want to clear up a confusion. A lot of us mistake articulation for venting. On the outside, they look almost the same. Venting sounds like, "I'm so stressed. I can't deal with this anymore. Everything is too much. I just need a break." And honestly, that can feel good. Like opening a pressure valve. The steam escapes. The tension drops. You feel lighter. For a bit. But nothing in the structure has changed. The pressure builds back up. Because all you did was empty the cup. Same cup shape, same cracks, same weak spots, same capacity. Articulation is different. It doesn't just let the steam out. It identifies where the pressure is coming from and why. It reshapes the cup itself. That's what we're doing in this series. Learning how to stop just letting steam escape and start creating that clear, thin white line in the fog, so you can actually move. So how do we actually do this thing called articulation? I like to think of it in three levels, like zooming in on a map. First the country, then the city, then the street. In this chapter, we'll sit with level 1 and level 2. Level 1 is emotional articulation. This is where most people stop, if they get here at all. And getting here is already a big deal. Emotional articulation is the move from "I feel bad" to something more specific. Not a diagnosis, not a 10-point essay, just named. "I feel bad" becomes "I feel scared." That's it. That tiny shift matters more than it sounds. Because bad could be anything. Sadness, anger, shame, grief, jealousy, boredom. The mind can't do anything useful with bad. It's pure fog. But scared? Now we have a shape. You still don't know what you're scared of or why, but the feeling has a name, and a name gives your mind something to work with. Picture a child crying, overwhelmed, unable to say what's wrong. Then they finally manage, "I'm scared of the dark." They're still upset, but now you know what to do. Turn on a light, sit with them, address the thing that has a name. Emotional articulation does that for adults. Inside many of us, there's a child just yelling, "I feel bad," and we never quite reach, "I feel scared," or "I feel lonely," or "actually, I'm hurt." Off becomes lonely. Stressed becomes angry. Fine, maybe the most dangerous word in English, becomes, "No, actually, I'm hurt." That's level one, naming the weather. Then we move to level two, structural articulation. This is where it gets more useful. You know you're scared or angry. Good. But scared is still just weather, stormy skies over the house. Structural articulation asks, which resident inside the house is creating the storm? What got them going? What are they afraid of?
It's the move from "I feel scared" to "the part of me that needs safety is activated because that conversation last night made me feel like I might lose something important." That's not just emotion, that's architecture. You've named the resident, the part that asks, "Am I safe?" You've named the trigger, that conversation. You've named the fear, loss. It's like going from "my car is making a noise" to "there's a grinding sound from the front left wheel when I brake." Same car, same problem, but now a mechanic can actually help. Let's take a real-world example. You've been snapping at your partner all week. You know something's off, but you can't see what. Emotional articulation gets you to "I'm angry." Structural articulation goes deeper. Autonomy is activated because I've said yes to too many things this month. I have no space left. And the anger isn't really at my partner. It's the sound my walls make when they're being squeezed. That second version changes everything. You're not a broken person or a terrible partner. You're a house with a resident who has run out of room. Now you know which resident needs what. That's the power of level two. You're not just naming the weather, you're seeing who inside the house is yelling for help. Level three is where articulation becomes a compass, not just a language. This is directional articulation. By this point, you've done two things. You've named the emotion, "I'm scared, I'm hurt, I'm angry." You've seen the structure. Trust is activated because I felt unsafe, or autonomy is activated because I've said yes to too much. Directional articulation is the move from understanding what's happening and why to sensing where the mind wants to go next. So, trust is activated because that conversation made me feel unsafe becomes something in me is turning toward honesty, even though it's terrifying. I need to say the thing I've been avoiding. Do you feel that shift? The first two levels are like walking around inside the house, looking into rooms. Who's talking? What set them off? What are they afraid of? The third level is stepping back and asking, given all of this, which way is the house leaning? Remember, we're not talking about plans or decisions. Direction here is more like orientation, a slope, a gentle pull. It sounds like something in me is turning toward reinvention, or I think I need to leave, or the pull is toward creative work, even though I can't justify it yet. These sentences are not polished life strategies. They're the first honest signal emerging from the noise. By naming them, even clumsily, even quietly, you give the whole house something to organize around. The residents can start rearranging themselves in response to that new direction. Now, why does all of this matter? Because without articulation, you stay in the fog. Inside the house, the residents argue, but nobody can say what the argument is about.
You feel tension, but it has no name. You want to move, but you don't know which way forward is. And then, often, you either freeze or you just vent. You open the pressure valve, let off steam, feel a bit of relief, and then everything slowly builds right back up in the same old cup.
Articulation doesn't magically clear the fog. It doesn't solve the argument between the residents. It doesn't hand you a tidy 5-step plan. What it does is give you that white line at the edge of the road. Emotional articulation. I'm not just bad. I'm scared or lonely or hurt. Structural articulation. This particular resident, trust, autonomy, safety, is activated because of this trigger, and it's afraid of this loss. Directional articulation. Given all of that, something in me is leaning toward honesty or leaving or creative work. You still might not see the destination. The fog may still be thick around the house. But now there's a line in the road your hands can actually hold. And that's enough to move. So as you go back into your own life, you don't need to chase big answers. Just start thinning the fog a little. Name the weather. Notice the residents. Sense the lean. One clear line is often all you need to take the next small step.